It's time for the Big Ugly Tailgate, bringing the party to the radio with Casey Studdard and Johnny Rogers, talking sports, food, music, and all things ATX on the station that says what Austin sports fans are thinking. The Horn.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Good morning, Austin, Texas. Beautiful Saturday day. Beautiful Saturday morning here in the capital city. A little cloudy this morning. I'm sure that'll burn off. You're listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Feel free to give us a buzz, 512-447-3776, or shoot us a text at 512-337-3776. This is Johnny Rogers in studio. Ty's in the box. I believe we got Casey Studdard live via remote down at Whitfield's Barbecue. Casey Studdard, good morning.
What's happening, Johnny?
What's going on in your world, bud?
Oh, just hoping the sun stays away for just, you know, a little bit longer than it has been this time of year.
A little reprieve from the heat?
Yeah. I mean, it's last couple weekends been a little humid, but this wind that's been hauling butt through here has kind of pushed it out, but there's no wind this morning, and it is kind of starting to get humid.
Yeah, I got a chance to play some golf down at Grey Rock this week, and it was, you know, extremely steamy, but as long as there's a little bit of wind, it felt fine.
Yeah.
And I believe we've got some weather and some cooler temperatures coming in pretty soon here to Austin, so we might get a little bit of relief. But I'm sure it'll be nice and toasty for Memorial Day weekend.
Some of these golf courses, you know how it is, like some of these hill country golf courses, when you get to the bottom, you know, because they have these thick trees down here in Texas.
Yeah.
You don't feel any breeze down there, and you're just like, oh, God, get to the next hole.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, can we do speed golf where we don't even get out the cart and we just, you know, hit it like that?
I think at one point we did that the other day.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that a few times where I'm like, guys, I'm staying the car on this one.
No doubt. No doubt. The Casey, I'm sure a lot of today's discussions will be over the tantrum that was displayed this week by two SEC football coaches in Nick Saban.
Somebody was on the – I think those two were on their period or something.
I mean, it was like – I'll say this. It was one of the greatest probably 30 minutes I've ever spent on Twitter after Jimbo came on and gave his rebuttal. It was like – I mean, there was no shortage of things being said on Twitter. You know, and there's a whole lot of context to this story that I'm sure some people might know. Some people really have no idea. But this isn't like two random people going after each other. Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher are intimately connected from coaching together. I mean, Jimbo was on staff in LSU back when Saban was there. And by the way, that coaching staff is probably one of the greatest coaching staffs ever assembled in college football in one place at one time. That LSU staff, Saban's first staff there. I mean, you talk about the names on that staff. You got, you got Jimbo Fisher, you got Nick Saban, you got Kirby Smart, you got Will Muschamp, Adam Gase, you got Jay Rogers' brother was on there. He's told me some solid stories. Him and Adam Gase were graduate assistants down at LSU on that first Saban staff. And the dynamic between Nick and Jimbo is really interesting because even though Nick was the head guy, Jimbo was the offensive guy, and they were at each other's throats all the time. Not in a mean way, but in a very competitive way because Nick kind of ran the show the way he wanted to. Jimbo came from that Bobby Bowden, Terry Bowden way of doing things, and Nick and those guys don't do it the same. But I think Jimbo's always felt like Nick held him back when they were coaching together because Nick wanted a ball control, let's let our defense win championships, not let our offense be the stars. And, of course, Jimbo wanted that. When they split ways, there's a reason Jimbo never went back. But Casey, have you ever been on a football team where the head coach and the offense or defensive coordinator just were at each other's throats all the time?
Yeah, I've seen it once or twice. That was in the pros, but, you know, it's...
I mean, they went scorched earth, though, the other day. Both of them. Well...
No, I know. It was to the point when I was listening to them, you know, Saban, he's like, they paid all their players. Saban's mad because...
He didn't win first in recruiting.
He's had this well-oiled machine, and he's basically the reason why there is no parity in college football.
You're right.
They're that good. He's taking all the recruits. Now that there's a little change involved, he's pissed off because he's not just sitting there getting these recruits anymore that are dying to go to Alabama. These kids are like, well, I can go to Georgia. You know, I can go elsewhere. I can go to Texas A&M and make a little change on the side.
Correct.
And if Alabama's not going to come to the terms of you know, their boosters and people in their poor dunk-ass town that can't come up with some money to pay some of these players to, you know, for NIL, name, image, and likeness, you know, they're going to suffer with that.
Hey, say less, Casey, because you're absolutely dead right on that. I mean, Nick
– it's changed. You know, and there's a new rule in NCAA. NCAA ain't going to do crap. You can say whatever you want, but NCAA, they're up to their knees and elbows with everything. They're trying to stay out of it as far as they can because they don't want to lose all their money because mm-hmm. they know in the backside of it, they could change all this and we can start taking money from the NCAA. And yeah. That's what they don't want.
If the NCAA doesn't seek to exist in the first place.
Yeah.
Because that's a real possibility. I mean, in my mind, when I looked at this, it was Nick Saban being a competitor, right? Like somebody, you know, he's kind of been the top dog all the time. Now A&M, one of his pupils comes up, not only beats him last year, but then takes over and gets the number one all-time greatest recruiting class. And Nick's, my mind's like, hey, that's me. Like, I've been doing that for years, and now A&M has one good year, and all of a sudden they're the soup du jour, right?
Yeah. It's just weird, though, because Jimbo went straight to what he should have said was, we followed all the rules. Our players did not get paid. We didn't pay them to come here. They got here. They got these deals.
Correct.
That's all he had to say. But he was so butthurt. He was like, he's a narcissist. Go ask anybody that's ever coached with him. He's a piece of crap. You know, it's like, golly.
He's a bad guy. Look at his receipts. And Jimbo's kept those receipts on Saban. Now, you're right, Casey. It was a tantrum of epic proportions. Now
A&M, and now they're all getting investigated.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, Jesus Christ.
No, I mean you're right. I mean what in my mind what Jimbo should have come out and said is hey, you're right. We dominated in recruiting. If you don't like it, you know, pick it up.
Yeah,
we're not doing anything wrong. But Jimbo, this is classic Texas A&M to me about. I mean, I think they blew this up because they saw it as their opportunity to, in their minds, become Alabama's rival, right? I mean, A&M's been looking to become somebody's rival after they supposedly left Texas behind in the Big 12. But if as long as Texas A&M is in the radar, we're talking about the Aggies right now. That's what they want, right? And to be in the news, to be relevant, and they're relishing in this glory because it puts Texas A&M on that national stage. And they're like, yeah, we beat Alabama last year. We whooped their tail this summer and this spring in recruiting. So we're where it's at. And it's like, yeah, you're still in College Station. You're still Texas A&M. You still haven't won anything. Okay, yeah, you won a mythical national recruiting championship. Great. Texas was doing that. What, every year that Mack Brown was here?
Yeah.
And they didn't even have a good year. I mean, what, are they going to go 8-4 and play in the Outback Bowl again? Is that another successful year at Texas A&M?
No, Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl.
Yeah. Rub yourself all down in some Duke's mayo? But
yeah.
But I was talking to some sources.
I want to see how many of those kids in that class I'm curious. I'm sure Rod or somebody on the horn, because, you know, me and your ass ain't going to do this research
in
the next 3 years and see how many of those kids from this signing class actually are transfer out.
We'll send CB a note to just keep an eye on this recruiting class to find out
how many of them
actually stick around.
But, you know, like if this recruiting class sticks around, they're going to have a good squad here in a few years.
Yeah.
If those kids all pan out, you know how it goes.
Sure.
And that, you know, so. I mean, we saw with Texas, we had the number 3 recruiting class, and none of those kids panned out, and they're all 4 or 5 stars.
Yeah, there was a lot of, you know, I was talking to my brother a little bit. I was trying to pick his brain to see if he would give me any information on what it was like on that staff, the relationship between, you know, Nick and Jimbo and all that. And he always pointed out is, you know, Saban is a big fan. He plays basketball with all his coaches.
Yeah,
and it's usually a 3-on-3 or a 4-on-4, and they play almost like every day during the week. It's kind of a, you know, stress relief and all that. But Nick's the guy. He gets to pick the teams every time, and he said Jimbo was always Nick's number one pick in these, you know, these basketball games. And I think it was probably because he realized if he was on the other side, they would probably get pretty physical when guarding each other. Like, that's how competitive Nick and Jimbo are. And Jimbo is one of those guys that he doesn't want to – he's not going to take back seat to anybody. And that's kind of that mentality that I think Texas A&M, that's what attracted the Aggies to go after and get Jimbo Fisher. And Jimbo's a great coach. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's won a national championship at Florida State, and now he's coming to A&M to hopefully add to any Texas A&M national championship or doing something of substance. But I just thought the whole thing was incredibly interesting. And again, I feel like this was A&M saw their opportunity, and in a lot of the ways, the same way A&M saw their opportunity in NIL and to go out and pay these guys. Yeah. For Jimbo Fisher, because here's the thing, Jimbo came out and said, you can't call me a cheat and you can't call me a liar. Okay, and by the way, you should look at Nick Saban's receipts, because there's a reason I didn't go back and coach with him. I mean, that's scorched earth. Like, that is, he's a bad dude. I know where the bodies are buried. Come talk to me and I'll tell you.
Yeah, I was like, dang, that's a big-ass snitch move.
Yeah. But at the same time, I get it. I mean, I understand what Jimbo, he's fighting for his team, and that's what you want if you're Texas A&M. But I just feel like, you know, in that same conversation that they had with Jimbo, they asked him about the paying of the players and all that, and Jimbo was like, I don't really know how all that works.
Yeah.
But I know we didn't do anything illegal. Wait, what now? Like, you don't know how it works, but you know you didn't do anything illegal, Jimbo? Those two sentences can't be true. If you are the leader of a program, you better know. I promise you that Steve Sarkisian knows everything that goes down at the University of Texas. Everything. There's nothing that's going to get by him. And I can guarantee you that Jimbo's the same way, especially with how much control he wants and yields in that program.
Oh yeah.
So don't sit there and say, "Hey, we're clean as a whistle," which, by the way, you should never say in the first place, because something along the way will get proven that you did something wrong, and now all of a sudden you're a liar.
Yeah, see, that's the one thing is you don't ever say that. You just kind of say, "Hey, man, we're following what the rules are," and.
I mean, maybe he thinks, you know, all the dudes wearing the white outfits just remind you of like a convent or a bunch of nuns or something like that. I mean, I don't understand where that guy can come across saying we're clean as a whistle, because we know that's not true. There's not a program out there that's true.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. Like Travis Johnson, his nickname's Trap J. You know how it goes. You know the locker room name.
Obviously. Yeah.
You know, out of Florida State, Travis Johnson, he was Texans' first round pick. You know, he was like number one D tackle in the nation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Alabama's, I don't know if it's their AD or I don't know, it was that whoever, when Travis was getting recruited, basically Alabama offered him $100,000 cash. And he said this on a tweet. He's like, y'all been doing this? Because one of the people at Alabama said something like, we don't do none of this, or this. And Travis Johnson was like, shoot, in 2000, y'all offered me $100,000.
Yeah.
On Twitter. I called him. I was like, oh, that's so funny. I'm glad you said that. He's like, well, that was stupid.
Well, here's the thing. What we don't want to happen, what nobody wants to see happen, well, maybe you do want to see this happen, but it's almost like they're both going to start snitching on each other, right? And then everybody's dirty laundry is going to be out in the air. I mean, Jimbo said enough to kind of raise some questions like, okay, maybe we do need to check this guy's receipts. But come on, man. You don't want all that out there. You really don't.
Yeah. They check his receipts, they're going to check
everybody. Yeah, everybody's getting looked at too. Now, Casey, here's a question for you. Here's an interesting scenario. September 10th, Austin, Texas. University of Alabama comes to play Texas. Who's A&M rooting for in that game?
Well, they're Aggies, so they probably don't even know.
I think they're going to have to cheer for Alabama. If you're an Aggie watching that game, who do you want to win, Texas or Texas or Alabama?
No, the Aggies are cheering on the sheep they're herding.
Probably.
And they're gonna have their sheep convention.
They're whooping. They're just running around in circles whooping.
Mm-hmm.
CB mentioned that the Aggies did not play in their bowl game last year because of COVID.
Oh, yeah, they pulled out because they were a bunch of sorry asses. I remember that.
Yeah, so that was...
Who was it?
Also kind of talking about the Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher thing. You look a little bit at their past, Casey, because they're both West Virginia guys, and they're both kind of those grind it till you can't grind it no more type of guys. I think it's just kind of the nature. I think both were brought up very similar situations, and they want to be like this is, you know, they want to fight for their teams, right? And I get it, but it looked really childish, but holy heck, was it entertaining?
Oh yeah, no, it's definitely entertaining. It's just a snitch world right now.
Yeah. Also in some not great news. I don't know if it's not great. I mean, it would have been nice for Texas to pick up Jordan Addison, but the wide receiver from Pittsburgh, the Biletnikoff winner, decided to go to USC over Texas. I think if he'd have been here, it would have been awesome. But it didn't happen. He opted to go for the glitz and the lights, the bright lights of Hollywood over Texas. So beat it, nerd. We'll see you.
Yeah.
Real quick, Case, I was going to tell you, we've got we got a couple of Aggies. We will be cheering for Alabama. Beat the hell out of TU, go Bama. Yeah, a lot of that going on in the text line. So, no love lost here, I'm sure, right, Case?
Yeah, I don't care. I'll never root for A&M. Every game they play in every sport. But that's just me.
Casey, I saw where the Texas baseball team handled business last night against KU.
They did handle business last night. They, you know, had to go out there today, finish the day off, and they should be doing all right, you know.
I saw where Ivan Melendez hit his 28th home run for the program, or to tie the program record of home runs in a season. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, he's having a special season right there.
He's leading the nation in home runs, batting average, slugging percentage, and second in RBIs.
I believe that.
I mean, good. I mean that's about as impressive as offensive baseball as we've ever seen down in Austin, Texas, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, who's the last guy that – I mean, Brooks Kieschnick, was he the kind of guy – was he the last guy to really kind of stoke fear in pitchers? I mean, I just haven't followed Texas's baseball program. I know they've had some some long ball hitters down there, but Ivan Melendez, the Hispanic Titanic. Yeah. I mean, this kid is just special.
You know, he's having a special year. Like, and what's crazy is I was listening to Ian all them the other day, and they're talking about, you know, the different eras of, you know,
Texas baseball,
and they're comparing his numbers to, you know, some of the all-time college records or whatever, and, you know, back in the day when they had those bats, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I think Lance Berkman had, like, I don't know, like 50-something home runs or something. I mean, it was crazy. Like, you look at Ivan Melendez, but what he's doing, he's having that special year, and they're seeing if he would break records and stuff, but they're like, oh, back in the day on those when the bats were a little different or whatever, some of the numbers were just insane for some of these guys.
Yeah.
But, no, I think he's one of those special guys, and it was cool to watch him this year because, you know, he's gone now.
Yeah.
You know?
No doubt.
I just hope Texas pull it together, get a deep run in the Big 12 camp tournament, and then they'll win this thing, put it all together and try to go win this thing.
No doubt. The guy I was thinking about from back in the early 2000s, Jeff Ontiveros, he was also a stud. Him, Brooks Kieschnick, Kyle Russell, obviously the guy that has the record. Tell you what, we got to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn. We'll be right back.
So you want to be hardcore with your hat to the back, talking about the gaps in your raps, but I can't feel that hardcore appeal that you're screaming. Maybe I'm dreaming. This ain't
Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. A little B.I.G. to bring you into the next part of the show. A very happy birthday. Rest in peace, Notorious B.I.G. Today would have been his 50th birthday. That's crazy to think about. But Notorious B.I.G. bust out onto the scene back in his early 20s and would have been 50 years old today. So shout out to B.I.G. Other birthday shout outs, Ricky Williams' birthday today, one of the all time great Longhorns. Triple R, my dad, celebrated a birthday this week. So happy birthday, Dad. Little Claire James also celebrating a birthday. A couple listeners this morning, my man Rodney Thomas taking off up to Dallas. What up, Rodney? Good to have you listening today. Benny Buck, Lisa over there at the UT Club. We got a bunch of listeners this morning, Casey. What's going on with you down at Whitfield's?
Oh, you know, we got a full menu. We got starting to sweat now. The sun's coming up.
Ooh, yeah. Now we're talking. Little moist on the brow.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm getting the crawfish stuff set up. I think it's going to be my last.
Last week of the crawfish.
Yeah, I think it's going to be my last weekend for crawfish. I got a big boil on Memorial Day on that Monday. But nice. Other than that.
All right. So get down to Whitfield's if you want the best crawfish in town, the best brisket in town, by far and away the best banana pudding in town. That's no lie.
That's no lie.
Sidewise, what are you putting on the grill?
We got our smoked pimento cheese and crackers. We got our potato salad, smoked veg, coleslaw, vinegar-based coleslaw.
Nice.
We got some beans, you know, we got all the ribs and chicken and turkey and brisket and pulled pork, all the good sausages. Beef and jalapeno cheese. Yeah, we're locked and loaded today. It's just every time you do crawfish, it's another element to add to the setup in the morning. You know,
and just one more step,
one more thing to freaking do.
No doubt.
We're rock and roll down here. We'll be open up at 11:30. Come down and see us for sure. But yeah, other than that, just been following the U.S. Open. I guess Tiger made the cut, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah, that's fun. A lot more eyes on this tournament with Tiger in it still. Now, he's not really within contention, I would say. But he made the cut. Will Zalatoris up at the top. Justin Thomas. Bubba Watson had a scorcher of a day yesterday. Rory McIlroy is very much in it. Stu Sink. I mean, there's some pretty big names within a couple strokes right now up at Southern Hills up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You ever been up there?
I have not. I don't like to venture to Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's a great state to drive through. or fly over.
That's I've been there one time, once or twice, and it's been to go shoot some quail, and that's about it.
They had a couple buddies from Edmond, and got a chance. Went up there. My brother Jeff, he played at North Texas, and North Texas played OU one year. Just got curb stomped, but actually went up to Norman, and you know it's a pretty nice little town, Norman. I mean, it's a college town.
You know the song Cross Canadian Ragweed sings about Oklahoma boys
rolling things the wrong way.
You know the song I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
You know how they say the people down in Norman.
Yeah.
Yes, right. They roll the joints all wrong.
Indeed.
Yeah. So that's the way I think.
That's all. That's all you really need to know.
Yeah.
I got you. Have you been watching any of the Mavs?
The Mavs, yeah. Last night they kind of just need someone to step up and have Luke out.
Man, it's tough. It's tough sledding. I mean, Golden State. The Mavs jumped out in the first half, playing great, and then that third quarter, Steph starts heating up. That's just too much team for the Mavs. What do you think, Ty?
Yeah, that was rough. I'm gonna be thinking about that one for a while.
But, yeah, I mean, it was in their grasp, and like any NBA series, it's not a series until somebody loses a home game. And I thought that was the Mavs' opportunity last night. They just S'd the bed in the third quarter.
And I mean, live and die by the three.
Yeah.
I mean, they say it. They know it. So once those stop falling.
But would they have gotten to this point had they not lived and died by the three?
I mean, no. It's just the same exact way that Golden State plays, and they're better at it.
Yeah, so. They have better shooters. They've got three or four guys on that team that can shoot better than any of the Mavs guys. I mean, I'm sorry, but Steph Curry is a cheat code. That guy, it is not fair what that kid can do with a basketball in his hand. He's the best shooter in our lifetime, easily, probably the greatest of all time.
And it's funny, though, when you see him shoot, it's like so lackadaisical.
Yeah.
Like, shoot.
He has such – I mean, it's the same thing every time, and – It's really fun to watch him play. I mean, it is really fun. And Klay Thompson. I mean, Draymond's just a punk. I mean, he's one of the, I think, I don't even know if Golden State fans like Draymond. What do you think?
Draymond's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, no doubt he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, they'll let NBA lets anybody in the Hall of Fame.
I usually like him.
Draymond?
I don't like him this series, obviously, because I'm a Mavs fan. But, like, I like the way he, like, pisses people off and, you know, gets people's heads. But last night it wasn't really working for him, obviously.
You know what he kind of reminds me of? Yeah. I mean, not basketball-wise, but as an athlete, kind of reminds me a little of Baker.
Ooh, I don't like that comparison.
No, I mean, but he...
No, I don't like that one either.
What are you talking about? He gets under everybody's skin on the other side.
But he can actually back it up with championships.
Well, Baker's got some receipts. He's done some decent in college.
Are you taking up for the best lake over there?
No. The best lake we all know is Westlake. But all I'm saying is Baker's one. What I mean by that comparison, not from an athletic standpoint, but just he's a guy on the he's a, if you're playing that other team, if you're playing against Draymond, if you're playing against Baker. You hate them. If you're a team,
I would compare him more to Phillip Rivers then.
Okay, that's fair. And that's a really good comparison too. I think because man, I'm just a little bit, you know, I've got my own thing against you know Phillip Rivers and him taking over in San Diego. That should have never happened. But you're right. Phillip Rivers is one of those guys that, again, if he's not on your team, you're going to want. To hate this guy, and most likely you will.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting. Yeah, game three tonight, Eastern Conference Finals between the Heat and the Celtics. Case, how you see that going?
That's a crazy game because, I mean, the Celtics came back and stomped their ass the other night. So it's just this, you know, it's the Celtics have all that fire, and they've been playing so damn good too.
Yep.
The Celtics have in the last couple months. So, you know, I thought if the Heat would have done it again, but the way they came back and the way the Celtics, I'm gonna have to take Celtics in this series.
Yeah, I like the Celtics myself, but I'm gonna lean a little bit more towards the Heat. I will be completely honest with you. I screwed up and I prejudged Jimmy Butler. I did not think Jimmy Butler was a guy that could take a team to the finals. I just didn't think he was that guy. After watching him play this year, he's that dude. Jimmy Butler is incredible.
I think he's been that dude for like 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah, but I just never really felt like he was a guy that could lead a team to a championship.
I don't know if he can win the championship. He's gotten there in the past few years, obviously. But
yeah.
I just don't think.
But watching him play, I mean, he's a better leader than I ever gave him credit for.
He's a great two-way player.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, he's really fun to watch. You know, PJ Tucker, you're always going to root for, right? You know, being a Longhorn, and man, I don't know. It's a great. I think it'll be a great series, but I'm hoping that the Heat take it over.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I just think that. What do they get, Hartford back next week or next game?
Yeah.
With him, I don't know. It's just like they got those three players back from game one, and it just seemed like they're a different team.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm a Celtics. I was after game one and after last series, I thought Miami was going to win this series. But I'm a believer in the Celtics now.
Yeah, and the bad news for the Mavs basically that I saw a quote. Oh yeah, teams who have won the first two games in their conference championship series, overall record of 71-6. It's not looking good for them.
They were down 2-0 last year.
That is true. They were one of those six. They were one of the six. But you know, I don't think you could overcome Steph Curry, Clay, Looney came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Wiggins. I mean, they've just got dudes on that team everywhere you look. I don't know. It's fun to watch, though. I'll give it that. It's one of the more entertaining basketball seasons I've watched, especially coming off. Was it last year? Were they in the bubble last year? 2 years ago?
2 years.
Yeah. That was horrible basketball to watch.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, a lot of people haven't gotten back to watching it because of that.
No doubt.
But, you know, with I mean, this Final Four right now for the NBA, it's some good games. It's good players playing against each other, and it's good basketball, and I am enjoying it too, though.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Seeing that, you know, seeing the Celtics and Heat, you know, battling, getting after it like that with a bunch of younger guys coming up, you know.
Yep.
You know, not younger guys, but, you know, it's just not old guys. It's refreshing not seeing LeBron's ugly ass.
Yes, absolutely.
I hear him throughout the playoffs.
No doubt. So, Casey, I was sitting there yesterday and got a text from my brother who lives out in Newport Beach, and he was like, they've shut down our neighborhood because there was a mountain lion loose in their neighborhood. Because they've got and you saw a photo of it, and they've got collars on all these mountain lions, and so they can track them. But my brother sent me some video of this. I mean, this thing looked like a mini horse. It was so big.
Yeah, people don't understand. Like, you see these little mountain lions and all this kind of stuff. Man, I got a story where a good friend of mine was hunting in Colorado, and they shot a cow elk, so he put a little bit of her scent on himself and a little bit of blood, and he walked down to this bottom of this ravine in this little valley, and he walked through these cattails chasing these elk up this ravine or up this mountain. So he's down there, but when he comes out the cattails, he goes out the same way he came in, and he goes back out to, you know, cut the bull elk off. And when he's walking out, there's cat footprints the size of his hand.
Mm-mm.
Where he walked in. So he's like within 20 yards of me right now.
Yep.
Sorry, I guess like that. Sorry. But
Ty was on it.
Yeah, I didn't even realize. I forgot I was on air. Anyways, no, but he goes, Casey, I came out of the cattails, and his paw prints were right next to my feet, right next to my footprints coming out. And I was like, he said, the hair on my back stood up. And he goes, I never saw the mountain lion, but I walked probably, it took him an hour longer to get back to camp than it usually did, because the whole time he was like just turning around, looking 360, walking in circles, just making sure the thing wasn't following him. Because, I mean, you're not going to see those cats until they jump on you.
Yeah.
I mean, they're that quiet, and they're an apex predator for a reason.
Yeah, fortunately they showed us video. The authorities came out. They tranquilized the big mountain lion, put him on the stretcher, and then relocated him to a safe area. So it's one of those. Fortunately, nothing happened, and everybody was good. I know Lincoln, my brother's lab. He was ready for that mountain lion though. He was barking. He was ready.
Ate him from the ass end first.
Not a chance. Lincoln is the meanest, best dog you've ever seen. And on that note, we got to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn. We'll be right back.
Got your bag on your shoulder. You never thought once about thinking it over. Feel like you're the only one.
Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn, live, local, digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Give us a text, 512-337-3776. Ty in the Box, Johnny Rogers, Casey Studdard, live from Whitfield's Barbecue, also joined in studio with the pride of the East Side, James Frazier. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, we doing good?
That song? Who's singing that song?
That's Cross Canadian Ragweed.
Yeah, that's a little CCR for you.
That's what I thought. No, hold on. That ain't the real CCR.
No? Oh, is that? Oh, you're talking about Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah.
That's the real CCR.
Yeah.
You mean the band that every time they start a song, I think of the Vietnam War? Every single one of those songs, I just think Vietnam for some reason. Because it's such, it was that time frame, right, Jamie?
Sure.
Yeah.
For me, that's the Doors.
Okay.
I think hardcore drugs, Vietnam, Forrest Gump type crap. You know what I mean?
Platoon was the best Vietnam movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which one was?
Platoon. That was awesome.
Yeah. My dad, I'd never seen my dad cry before, but my dad, so my grandfather was based in Korea. They're in Korea. My dad grew up in Germany for a few years, but my grandfather fought in Vietnam and Korea. And he said in the Vietnam War, they were stationed, you know, that's why my dad's from South Texas, because they were stationed down there in San Antonio at, I forgot what it's called, but that's where all the burn victims went, too. Yeah. They had that big burn victim unit down there. So so he's like, I can still smell it, Casey. Like, yeah. These guys would be coming in. And I was like, man, you still? He's like, yeah. And then you see him, and it was just horrible.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And we're in the we're at the movie theater. We're watching that movie. We Are Soldiers with Mel Gibson.
Yeah,
with about Colonel Moore or whatever and his whole platoon.
First Air Cavalry. That's the
First Air Cavalry right there. And there's a part in the movie where he goes, a guy, you know, they're trying to load up a guy in the helicopter. A guy got hit by a little bit of napalm, and like his literally his skin just melted off his legs, and they went to grab his legs all the way down to the bone.
Yeah. Mm.
And my dad started crying. He was like, man, I've seen that. And I was like, God, I asked him after the movie, I was like, you're all right? He was like, no, just being down there in San Antonio as a kid and that stuff, seeing these people come in waves, it's depressing to see all that. I said, that ain't no BS. So. Oh,
that's a great Saturday morning kick.
Yeah. On to a little bit of brighter news. I don't know if you guys noticed, But Austin FC is in first place.
I'd rather talk about burn victims.
Stop. And they play again on Sunday, 7 p.m. at Q2 Stadium against Orlando. But what was significant of this week, not only did they
guess.
Take
Can
first
guess?
Place.
We're the only show that talks about Austin FC. No other show talks about Austin FC.
Yes, they do. Most of them do. It's just we talk about them the best.
Not the main shows during the week, you know.
That's because they're not as special as we are, Casey.
And nobody else has a stamp tramp with a W on it.
Okay. Ty does too, I'm pretty sure. but I will say what was really cool about this the game earlier this week, Owen Wolf, aka Teen Wolf, Josh's son, had his first start.
No nepotism there.
No, I mean, he's played really good.
Got the game ball.
Absolutely no nepotism there. He's a good player. And not only is he a good player, but they went on the road to LAFC, got 3 points on the road, are now in first place in the MLS. So whether you're a soccer fan or not, you should be standing by your hometown team, Austin FC. Get out, support them on Sunday. Q2 will be rocking and rolling. Let's go.
And you know what's funny? They would be in last place in Europe. They wouldn't even be allowed to play. So, you know, that's where my level is in my face.
Hey, but now, there was I don't know if this is true or rumors, but supposedly Lionel Messi is going to take ownership in the Miami team.
Don't know.
Inter Miami.
Don't know.
And Messi, at some point, whenever he's ready to wrap it up, he's going to come to America, play, and be a player owner at the Inter Miami team, the Beckham's team.
Making a half a billion every 2 years.
I mean, but when he's done, he's come to the States. I'm pretty sure that got announced. That would be really cool to see Messi in the States.
I would go to Miami and watch him.
You would wait for him to come to Austin FC? Casey, listen, I got tickets for you on Sunday if you want to go.
If Messi was on Austin FC, I'd take my family there to watch him.
Yeah.
He's the Michael Jordan.
What about Sunday against Orlando?
No, not a chance.
Listen, I can get us tickets, Casey. We can bring Whitfield. We can go have a great time. Support the Verde.
Yeah, I'll wait till Messi gets here.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's one of those things. You know, as a kid, my dad took me to watch Michael Jordan.
Yep.
To go see Michael Jordan play when he was wearing number 45 in Denver. He was playing at McNichols Arena. My dad was like, hey, we're going to watch the Bulls play. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And he goes, you watch 45 all night. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, as a kid, he took me up to Chicago when we were living in Illinois and took me to go see Jordan. And I was a huge Jordan guy. And
you saw him at a home stadium?
Yeah. This was back when he was just kind of becoming Air Jordan. I mean, this had to have been, you know, late 80s, 88, 87, somewhere in there. Really, I mean, before he really – I mean, he was always that dude, but, like, this was before any of his championships.
Was this PTS? Pre-tramp stamp? Or was
just stop. Listen – the
were you like 8 or 9 years old?
Yeah, I was like 7, 8 years old, and what was so cool, so you know, it was down, like, it was the old arena, and it was not the best part of town in Chicago. And so Dad took me up there, and this was, again, you know, this was a long time ago, so they let anybody, like, before the game, if you were sitting in the stands, you could walk down and basically stand on the court to watch pregame warm-ups. And my dad just kind of grabbed my arm and he was like, hey, let's sit down right here. Second row on the court, just waiting for somebody to come kick us out. Every single seat in the entire floor was taken except those two seats. So me and my dad got to watch Michael Jordan, second row, one of the greatest sport. It was the greatest sporting event I ever went to. Got to see my hero, Michael Jordan. It was awesome. Great, great time.
That's a badass story.
Yeah. True. And then I think in the third quarter, I got hungry. And my dad had to go and, like, get me something to eat, and they wouldn't let him back down there. And he had to be like, listen, my 7-year-old is sitting there. I've got to at least go get him, you know. And the guy was like, go ahead. I got you. And we got to watch the whole game there. It was one of my favorite memories of all time. It was awesome.
That's cool as hell. I always was a Elway fan. You know, my dad blocked for Elway, and being in Colorado, Elway was God.
Oh, dude. And still God.
Yeah, and I knew him as a kid, but it was always still like, hey, Mr. Elway, Casey, call me John. Hi, Mr. Elway.
Yeah.
But it was cool. I was in high school. They did a flag football game at the Mile High, the last game before they went to Invesco Field or whatever. I don't know, like 99 or something like that. I think I was a freshman or going to be like eighth grade or something like that. And it was NFL's best versus the Broncos' best or whatever. And it was like Elway versus Montana, basically.
Awesome.
So we're in the south end zone in the locker room. I'm in there with my dad and like three amigos and, you know, all of them and blah, 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 are all getting taped up. And Carl Mecklenburg's in there, a bunch of, you know, Bronco greats and stuff. And my dad's sitting there and John Elway says, he's like, Casey, you won't warm me up? My dad goes, better put some gloves on, boy.
Yeah. Break a couple fingers there.
I'm like, yeah, whatever, Dad. And about the fourth or fifth ball, the whole locker room was looking at me because they knew around five or six, John would start whizzing them damn things in there.
Yeah.
And he whizzed one in there and it hit me right in the chest. And I was like, oh my God. But I goes, I told you, dumbass.
That's awesome. I mean, the fact that you got to play catch with John Elway is incredible.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was one of the cool stories being in there. And like, I was like, all right, well, that was cool as hell.
Yeah.
You know, and then I got to have a glass of scotch with him after we played him in Denver when I was with the Texans. I went to Elway's restaurant.
Yeah, the steakhouse.
And he was there. And I was like, John, what's going on? He goes, Casey, good game today. I was like, I appreciate it. And I was there with my buddy or whatever and sat there and had a drink with him. And then that was about it.
Yeah, John Elway, God, that guy's just an absolute stud. Just all time great. And still beloved. My brothers would always say you could always tell how good of a time John Elway was having by how many buttons on his shirt were undone. He's like, by the end of the night, Elway's down to his last two or three buttons on his shirt and just having, I mean, that's how you knew he was having a good time. So we got to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back on the other side of this. You are listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn.